On and on through the desert they went. Slowly, very slowly, Shasta began to notice the vast grey flatness on every side. It looked absolutely dead, like something in a dead world. And Shasta felt quite terribly tired and noticed that he was getting cold and that his lips were dry. Then the sun rose and everything changed in a moment. The grey sand turned yellow and twinkled as if it was strewn with diamonds. The double peak of Mount Pyre far ahead flashed in the sunlight. Everyone felt better, but not for long. The light soon became a nuisance. The glare of the sand made Shasta's eyes ache. Then came the heat. On his first walk of the morning, the heat of the sand struck up at his face as if from the opening of an oven door. Next time, it was worse. The third time, as his bare feet touched the sand, he screamed with pain.
I'm sorry, Bree. I can't walk. It burns my feet.
Of course. Should have thought of that myself. Stay on. Can't be helped.
On again, trot and walk and trot. The smell of hot horse. The smell of hot self. The blinding glare. The headache. Till at last their shadows began to fall on their right. And then got longer and longer. Very slowly, the sun drew nearer to the western horizon. And now at last it was down. The merciless glare was gone. Four pairs of eyes continued to look out for any sign of the valley that Shasta had heard about.
Are you sure this talking raven knew what it was talking about?
Yes. He said there'd be a valley, and there will be.
But mile after mile, there was nothing but level sand. And now the day was quite definitely done, and most of the stars were out. And still the horses pushed on, and the children were miserable with thirst and weariness. Not until the moon had risen did Shasta shout out.
There it is!
There was no mistaking it now. Ahead, and a little to their right, there was at last a slope and hummocks of rock on each side. The horses were far too tired to speak, but they swung round towards it, and in a minute or two they were entering a gully. They continued steeply downwards, passing prickly cactus-like plants and coarse grass. Soon, the horse hoofs were falling on pebbles and stones instead of sand. Round every bend, the four of them looked eagerly for water. The horses were at the end of their strength now. They were almost in despair before at last they came to a little muddiness and a tiny trickle of water through soft grass. And the trickle became a brook, and the brook became a stream with bushes on each side, and the stream became a river. Bree stopped at a broad pool where both the horses dropped their heads down to drink. Shasta and Aravis plunged in.
At last. I could stay here forever.
Yes.
Now, look, we mustn't get too comfortable.
And we mustn't go to sleep. We've got to keep ahead of that rabidash.
That's right. We're just having a little rest. And something to eat and drink.
Oh, did you hear that?
What?
It's a nightingale. Listen to it.
It's lovely.
Now, Remember, a little rest. That's all.
Right. A little rest.
It was Aravis who awoke first. The sun was already high in the heavens, and the cool morning hours were already wasted. The others were dazed and stupid with the heaviness of their sleep. Bree was particularly sluggish, convinced as he was that they were still miles ahead of Rabadash, and he insisted on a morning snack. It must have been nearly 11 o'clock in the morning before they finally got going again. And even then, Bree took things much more gently than yesterday. They rode for several hours down the valley where it widened out. The river, which they'd been following, here joined a broader river, wide and turbulent, which flowed from their left to their right towards the east. Beyond this new river, a delightful country rose gently in low hills, ridge beyond ridge, to the northern mountains themselves. To the right, there were rocky pinnacles, one or two of them with snow clinging to the ledges.
It's beautiful.
To the left, pine-clad slopes, frowning cliffs, and blue peaks stretched away as far as the eye could reach.
Look, straight ahead, a pass.
Yes. And I think this river is called the Winding Arrow.
After casting about up and down the bank of the river, they found a place shallow enough to wade. When they reached the other side, Shasta was filled with a strange excitement as Bree announced...
The North! The Green North! Friends, we are in Arkenland!
Oh, isn't it simply gorgeous?
Oh. Dear, but I hope we're in time.
Then they began going up, slowly, zigzagging a good deal, for the hills were steep. At the first ridge, Shasta turned in the saddle and looked back. There was no sign of Tashban. The desert, unbroken except by a narrow green crack which they had traveled down, spread to the horizon.
Hello? What's that?
What's what?
Back there, in the desert. It looks like smoke. Is it a fire?
Oh, sandstorm, I should say.
Not much wind to raise it.
Oh, look, there are things flashing in it.
Oh, those are helmets. And armor.
Oh, by Tash, it's the army. It's Rabadash and he's coming this way.
This is just what I was afraid of. Quick, we must get to Anvard before them.